Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in, watching, listening, sharing the podcast. We've got a sister in Christ that's been so active in discerning the spirits, testing the spirits, and writing about it with Doug Guyvett. It's Holly Pivick, and we're going to talk about some things, recent revelations that have been happening, unfortunately, in the church regarding the NAR, Bethel Church, and a whole lot of things we want to talk to her about. But I want to give the websites hollypivec.com, P-I-V-E-C. It's just so great to have her back. You can look her up on Facebook, holly.pivec. Also, over on YouTube, they're doing a podcast there, Holly Pivec Official. And you can get her recent books. We'll talk a little bit about Reckless Christianity. And I love the subtitle, The Destructive New Teachings and Practices of Bill Johnson Bethel Church and the Global Movement of Apostles and Prophets. And of course, there are several books also before that on the NAR. But Holly, so thankful to reconnect with you. Appreciate your time and all that you do. Good to see you.
Thank you. I always appreciate your invitation to come back and talk with you and your audience.
Awesome. And there's a lot of new people in our viewers and listeners that maybe aren't familiar with you, what you and Doug have done. Share a little bit about what your specialty is and what your ministry is about.
Yeah. So for over 20 years now, I've been researching and writing and now podcasting about the new Apostolic Reformation movement, this global movement that's causing, it's full of false teaching and causing so much destruction, damage in the church and destruction in people's lives. Doug Guyvett is a professor emeritus of philosophy at Talbot School of Theology at Biola University. I earned my master's degree in Christian apologetics at Biola. That's when I got to know Doug while I was working also at Biola as the university editor there. And together now we've co-authored 4 books about this new Apostolic Reformation movement. It started with 1 book and we got such a response from people saying thank you for describing what we've been seeing, taking over our churches and you know, helping us have an understanding, a framework, a label for what it is. And so we've been doing that ever since. And I receive communications from people daily describing the ways that this movement has harmed them and their challenges recovering from it.
So much damage done, sadly, to believers. And I hope and pray that a lot of these people that went through this, you know, some of the stuff they learned and were... There's you know, abuse and other things involved, but just false teachings. I hope they did not fall away from God and the truth of Scripture. But you know, churches, men will disappoint you. Human beings, men and women, I should say, not just men. There's some women out there, women preachers and teach from false doctrines as well. But I want to ask you, NAR, Kingdom Now theology. How does that play in? We hear a lot about Kingdom Now. And even more so recently, and I think there's some in the Trump administration, not in the administration, but speaking in him from the faith side of things, in the White House faith office, there's some that would promote Kingdom Now, and they've got his ear. It can be very confusing to some Christians. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So I'll explain how Kingdom Now theology fits in. So the goal of the new Apostolic Reformation movement is to bring God's kingdom to earth, his socio-political kingdom to earth. Leaders in this movement teach that that's the task of the church, that that's really the Great Commission, to bring God's kingdom to earth. And they would say that in order to do that, though, the church requires supernatural power and new revelation from God, new revelation that God is giving today in order to give the church strategies and the miraculous powers needed to bring God's kingdom to earth. But they would say the church can't have that revelation and that supernatural power as long as apostles and prophets, modern day apostles and prophets, are not leading the church. And so the leaders in this movement say that for the past 2,000 years, the church hasn't had apostles and prophets. So it's been missing this critical new revelation from God, these new miraculous, these supernatural powers that the church needs to rise up and become this great end time miracle working army and bring God's kingdom to earth. And so Kingdom Now theology is part of the eschatology. It's the belief that the church is supposed to bring God's kingdom to earth now. And they believe that that is done under the authority of the apostles and prophets who are directing the church and revealing the divine strategies for doing so.
Wow. There's so much I want to ask you about this. So problematic. First of all, shout out to you, one of your earlier books, Counterfeit Kingdom, The Dangers of New Revelation, New Prophets, and New Age Practices. So, Holly, help me understand, and our viewers, our listeners, maybe we have some younger Christians, too, that are watching the podcast. New Revelation. What the Bible, the canon is closed. The Bible is, we have God's word from Genesis to Revelation. And we have fulfilled prophecy. We have all we need in God's word. But how does new revelation play into that? That's not new scripture. So is this men claiming to be apostles saying, I got a new message from God and this is what it is? Is that part of it?
Yeah, so these apostles and prophets, many of them are claiming to actually receive new doctrinal revelation for the global church, even for entire nations. So we're not just talking about historic charismatic or Pentecostal beliefs that some people might have a gift of prophecy to, you know, encourage other individuals or give a message to their local church. We're talking about apostles and prophets who are claiming to give messages to the global church, to entire nations. And these people even claim they have authority to make decrees that affect the weather, to essentially command angels to carry out their, you know, to carry out their decrees. And when it comes to their new revelation, they'll say, well, we're not adding to scripture, because they don't take their revelations and physically append them to the Bible,
right,
the pages of the Bible. And they'll say that they do think that scripture is the highest authority. The problem is that when they're claiming to give revelation to the global church that must be received in order to bring God's kingdom to earth, this, that critical new revelation, then they are in effect putting their words on a par with the authority of scripture, even if they're not, you know, attaching, stapling their revelations to a physical Bible.
That's a lot of power, if you think about it, and people fall for it. So explain, please, for those who are maybe new to learning about all these other, you know, beliefs outside of the essentials of the faith and the, you know, true biblical worldview, how we... Man is not responsible, nor do we have the power, do we, to bring God's kingdom to earth? But some people believe that, so that's why they do certain things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. We know from scripture that Christ will, you know, bring his kingdom at his return. Yeah, they would actually say that the God wants us to bring his kingdom to earth prior to Christ's return, to usher in Christ's return. And the leaders of this movement may disagree exactly how much of God's kingdom can be brought in prior to his return, but they do all agree that it's a significant amount, much more than people have previously, you know, believed to be possible. So that's and they have something called the Seven Mountain Mandate, which is one of the new revelations that the prophets in this movement claim to have received for the global church. And that's the revelation God has allegedly given them, that the way for the church to rise up and take dominion of nations is for the apostles to rise to the top of the seven major societal institutions. And once they rise to the top, they alone are authorized, they govern those institutions. And so they would claim their authority even extends beyond the church, the apostles and prophets, the governing societal institutions, and that they alone have the authority to cast out high-ranking demons, they would say, rule over those institutions. And so the Seven Mountain Mandate, you know, the institutions would be like media, government, you know, family, religion, these major societal institutions and so that's one reason people have concerns about, like, Paula White, who's part of this movement, you know, and her connection with Donald Trump, serving as his pastor and the leader of the faith office in the White House, you know, she's part of this movement. And so people have concerns about the proximity of these leaders because in this movement, they see the White House as really the prize. If you can rise to the top of, you know, the White House, that's how you rise to the top of the government mountain. And so by having access to President Trump, they see it as a way to fulfill their seven mountain mandate.
So I think if I remember right, the last time we had you on, I think we were talking a lot more about Paula White Kane, mm-hmm. and we played some video clips of her preaching and some of the stuff she said. Really is amazing and sad. And maybe they're deceived, but they think they mean well. They think they're working for God and doing the country, serving the country. But wow. So there's so much to clean up here, Holly. And that's why we have you on, to help us understand all this. So now let's fast forward to recent months and, you know, maybe recent years. And Mike Winger, who is an amazing, he's got a great ministry. He recently, I don't know if he did an expose, but he's been putting out videos on this. Share what's going on and how it relates to Bethel, because you really call out Bethel, particularly in Reckless Christianity.
Yeah, so Mike Winger, for those who don't know, he's been doing a series of exposés on what he has called cover-up culture, specifically in the charismatic church. And one of those exposés was almost a six-hour exposé, and it was talking about Bethel Church in Redding, California, which is the flagship church of this new apostolic reformation movement. And it showed that things, for example, that there's a well-known prophet that has been closely working with Bethel over the years, platformed by Bethel, promoted by Bethel. Someone, we talked about this in our book, Counterfeit Kingdom. This prophet had been data mining prophecies. So what that means is he would go on stage and he would claim to call out someone in the audience and give revelation to them from God. But he would say something like, does anybody in the room here, God's telling me there's someone in the room named Bill, and you know, I'm making up these names, but a name, and does the birthday, you know, someone would raise their hand in the audience and say, oh, you know, I'm Bill. And you go, oh, Bill, is your birthday February, you know, 2nd, 1978? And he go, yeah, it is. And he'd be like, oh, and God's showing me that you have a pet. Do you have a dog? You know, a miniature schnauzer. And everybody would be like shocked, like, how does he know so much about this person? And they would think God was telling him all this information, but really he had gone on Facebook or different social media profiles ahead of time and data mined. He obtained all this information by researching it in advance. So it's really, it's hot reading is what that's called. And we actually talked about Sean Bolt's doing this in our book, Counterfeit Kingdom, in one of our chapters. But then it also came to light that many allegations of a lot of terrible sexual abuse and misconduct from Sean Bolz is being alleged now too. And Mike Winger goes into all the gory details in his 6-hour expose. But the concern is that leaders at Bethel Church knew about these things and continued to promote him, it seems, as a genuine prophet. And so after Mike Winger did his video, there's been all this fallout at Bethel. The leaders have even apologized for platforming him. But the problem is that this goes much deeper than just, you know, this cover-up culture, how terrible it is a symptom of something much deeper. And that's the errant, unbiblical theology of the new apostolic reformation movement, and specifically it's the apostolic authority, this extraordinary apostolic and prophetic authority that these individuals are claiming, is what feeds in to this deceptive cover-up culture. And so, you know, even if Bethel were to shut down and people were to or go to another church, if they find another NAR church, another NAR, new apostolic reformation church, you know, they're still going to be victims of spiritual abuse, even if the apostle or prophet at that new church is not engaging in sexual abuse, even if they're not data mining, they're still victims of spiritual abuse because these apostles and prophets are twisting scripture terribly to support their teachings. They're claiming to be apostles and prophets when they're not. So the spiritual abuse runs very deep in this movement.
Wow. So much more to get into with Holly Pivick, but I want to direct you to her Substack. We'll talk a little bit about that next and something she's doing, a monthly Q&A. But it's hollypivick.substack.com. We've got more coming up on Worldview Matters. Register now for the Worldview Matters Conference May 1st and 2nd in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Expert speakers include Alex Newman, Brianna Clausen, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kaw, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. Delta Hotel, Green Bay, May 1st and 2nd. Go to worldviewmattersconference.com. That's worldviewmattersconference.com. So Holly Pivick is with us, and she created a community, and you've called it Hold Fast with Holly Pivick, and you discuss NAR issues and all this stuff that's going on in the news about these churches. But you also do a monthly Q&A, a live Q&A. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. Is that on YouTube? How does that work? How can people get a hold of that?
Yeah, so for people, so anybody can follow my Substack for free, receive my articles. But for people who join my community and become paid subscribers, I am starting a community for people who have felt very alone out there. They've had concerns about the new Apostolic Reformation. They're trying to figure out how to address their concerns in their church with their loved ones who are still part of this movement. Maybe people are recovering from being part of this movement themselves. Mm. I've had all these people join me and more continuing to join me in this community so we can discuss NAR together. I can answer their questions during Q&A sessions that they have so they can hear from, you know, someone who's an expert in this movement, help them understand because there's so many, it can be very confusing to people, this movement. Yeah. And also a book club, which I'm very excited about, where we're actually going to read NAR books together. We're going to start with Bill Johnson's book, When Heaven Invades Earth. We're kicking off in a couple of weeks. So your listeners are welcome to join us. And what we're going to do is we're going to read and evaluate these books together through scripture and careful logical reasoning, which is in my podcast, I'm always trying to explain to people, those are really the two prongs of biblical discernment. You know, is it our teaching supported by scripture and do they hold up to sound critical, logical, you know, thinking. And so this is a community for just people who want to go deep in discussion, get encouragement from other people who are facing the same challenges from NAR and, you know, want to do some discernment together.
So Holly, you're not recommending people read that book on their own as if it's a good book. You're going to discern and dissect that book and talk about the problems with it, right? Just to clarify.
Yes, I am glad you clarified that. No, yeah, yeah. We are evaluating these books to show, you know, where they're wrong. And also one concern people have had is they said, you know, I want to join your book club, but I don't want to support, you know, Bill Johnson or these, you know, these other false teachings by buying these books. And what I recommend is I had a professor at Biola. He was a cults and apologetics professor. And he always said, never pay full price for heresy. And so he would tell us, you know, when we're doing research on cults or, you know, these aberrant groups to buy our books used. And so that's what I tell people is buy the books used, you know, you can get them really cheaply and you'll take them off the market. So other people can't read them if you're concerned, you know, about supporting these false teachings.
Thank you for clarifying. Okay. I think I saw that. I don't remember. It may have been on Facebook or may have been on your YouTube. I don't know. I saw that you were going to do that. And I'm thinking, okay, I hope people don't think, hey, that's a great book. I should read it. Holly recommended it. No, she's not recommending it.
Oh, yeah. I hope not. I better clarify that if there's any confusion.
So, well, you know, some people don't pay attention to details and they just see your book cover, whatever. We just got to be so careful. And so let's go back a little bit, rewind a little bit and talk about prophets. So are you saying that biblically there are no prophets today?
Right. So in NAR, what they're claiming is that there are these authoritative prophets that hold formal governing offices in the church. This is very different than what Pentecostals and Charismatics have believed. Charismatics and
Okay.
Pentecostals historically have believed that there are prophets in the sense of people today who may have the miraculous gift of prophecy that's talked about, for example, in Corinthians. But they would see that gift as not, it's not an authoritative office. This is
Okay.
something that people will share maybe with other individuals or maybe in the context of their local church, but they don't see it as having this authoritative status that, so in the New Apostolic Reformation, they're claiming there are these formal governing offices of prophet an apostle today, and we argue that they're, biblically that there's no support for that. We don't really weigh in on the debate about whether the miraculous gifts continue today or not, and we don't do that because it's really not relevant to our argumentation. There are many Pentecostals and Charismatics who are very concerned about this movement, and they believe in the miraculous gifts, but they don't believe that the offices of apostle and prophet are for today. And so that debate becomes really a distraction since it's not, doesn't have any bearing on our argumentation.
Okay, thanks for explaining that. Man, the time's going by really fast with you. So let's go back now to Bethel. And what's happening there is the cover-up culture, because if you look at generally church history, a lot of churches try to cover up, not just NAR churches, but there's a massive problem now. You say the cover-up, or I don't know if it was you or Mike Winger that put it out there, that the cover-up culture, it's really being abused, and NAR is really one of the causes of the cover-up culture. Did I get that right? And if so, explain a little bit more.
Yeah, so here's the thing. There could be, of course, and there has been terrible abuse from pastors and leaders who are not part of the New Apostolic Reformation movement. It's not limited to the New Apostolic Reformation movement, but the teachings of this movement do present a greater danger for spiritual abuse because whenever
Okay.
you have leaders who are claiming extraordinary authority, they're not just claiming to be pastors or elders, they're claiming that they have been divinely chosen and, by God to have authority to give revelation to the global church, to govern tens of thousands of churches at a time, as some of these apostles do, to make decrees that, that angels carry out. I mean, they claim that their words must be obeyed, or else really you're outside of God's will if you're not accepting their. So they'll even prophesy to individuals, but you're supposed to obey their words. And so the potential for spiritual abuse is much, much greater in an NAR church than even outside, though of course it occurs everywhere.
Okay, so back to, I know I've got just so many things that I see, we seem to be jumping around a little bit. That's because my brain's working. Okay, I got to go back and ask one more thing about the data mining, because I'm thinking how easy is it is to get information on someone. But then I'm thinking, man, psychics probably do this too. Fake psychics and people that claim to have a gift, a spiritual gift, and they give the information, and it draws people in. How do they know that about me? Well, they found it on your Facebook or on, I don't know, LinkedIn or whatever, your website. So to have the church, someone in the church do this, that to me, I guess I'm still thinking how awfully deceptive that is, and how, man, they're gonna have to answer to God for that. But they're fooling people, aren't they?
You're right. And we talk about that in our
Wow.
book, Counterfeit Kingdom, when we talk about the data mining. There's a guy on YouTube, I can't remember his name now, but he doesn't really claim to be a psychic or anything like that. But he goes around, he'll find out information about people online and he'll go into public places and just walk up to them and start telling them. And they're like, whoa, how do you know that? Are you a psychic? And he's actually doing it to teach a lesson about how easy it is to find out information about anybody you want to
Wow.
online, and so that people will be, more discerning. People
Wow.
sometimes don't think that con men can even be in the church. Just, You know, I mean, they're con men everywhere. You know, it could be a car salesman, and I don't want to say anything. You know, there are many honorable car salesmen, of course. But you know, we stereotypically think of con men or like Nigerian scammers or you know things like that. But there are con men in the church, and so people need to be alert to that. But even for the prophets, the so-called prophets in the New Apostolic Reformation, who aren't doing data mining. There's still a lot of, you know, they're false prophets too. They might not be data mining, but often they will claim that they received revelation from God. And it's just like fortune cookie stuff. It's vague, it's unspecific. They're just making it up too. So the threat isn't just the data mining prophets, although, of course, you know, that's just outright fraudulent. But the other people who are passing off what they say as prophecy when they're, you know, passing themselves off as prophets when they're not is also very serious as well.
So, Holly, we're just down to a couple minutes with you. And I've been saying, very interesting, I'm not saying this is from God, but I've been saying this year that I think one of the big words for the church better be discernment. I really believe that with all that's going on, not only with what these churches are doing, these fake, you know, people saying, claiming their gift is from God, but AI and social media, other things, we can be deceived so easily. Just your words of encouragement for Bible-believing Christians, just in the last minute and a half here, please.
I always like to point people to Acts 17:11. The example of the Bereans in there, you know, when the Apostle Paul came and brought them new teaching that they hadn't heard before, it says in Acts 17:11 that they searched the scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul taught them were true, if they lined up with the scripture that they already had in the Old Testament at that time. And we need to follow the example of the Bereans and test everything by scripture, including and especially the claims of people who claim to be modern day apostles and prophets, because if even the Apostle Paul's teachings had to be tested by scripture, how much more so should the words of anyone who claims to be an apostle or prophet today be tested by scripture?
Those are very important words, what you just said. If the Apostle Paul's words were tested and they said, "Oh, let me check the scriptures to make sure what you're saying is accurate," that is such a good model and example for us today with all the different teachings and false gospels out there. Holly Pivick, thank you for the work you do. Lord willing, we'll do this again. We appreciate your voice. Go to the website, friends, hollypivick.com. Follow her on Substack. Check out her YouTube, her podcast. Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing, sister.
Thank you so much, David. Good talking with you.
Same here. God bless you, friends. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.